and welcome back to the shed of basketball truth. It is Studio 3 for Ball Don't Lie Australia. Back for another week. It's all sorts going on. WNBL Grand Final Series is underway. NBL playoffs are just chugging along at an amazing clip. Tomorrow or today, depending on when you're listening as we record, it's going to be a great double header. It's going to be fantastic. And we've got some superstars of basketball analysis joining us, Elliot. It's going to be pretty great.
Oh, yeah. I'm keen to get chatting to them. It's going to be – there's lots of tight games, so it's a lot to break down.
Indeed. All right. Our first one, our first guest is here, going to be here to talk WNBL, and that's, of course, Jacinta Govan. And after that, we've got Matt McIntyre joining as well to talk all things NBL playoffs and, of course, a little bit of Crack'em. And he's got a good feeling coming into this week, mate, that he normally goes up against the Crack'em King in Anthony Kopskis. And
easier comp this week.
Well, look, Jared, you can ask Jared Pickering how uncomfortable it can be to go up against the Crack'em King himself. Yes. But Macca has honed his skills. So, look, best of luck when the time comes. But, look, let's jump into some WNBL action, of course, and have a chat with the amazing, as always, Jacinta Govan.
You're listening to the Ball Don't Lie Australia podcast.
To it. All right, she's back. WNBL expert. Well, we say expert. She her last prediction, you know, wasn't quite as good as mine. So, but she is back. Jacinta, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie.
Hello, thank you for having me back. And look, to be fair, I am still in denial of the title of expert. So, you know, that's on you, I think, for giving me that title and me not living up to it.
Well, hey, your predictions are your predictions, mate. You can put whatever asterisks you need to put on them. If they don't pan out, they don't pan out. That's on you.
They don't pan out. That's right. That's right. But that's why we love the league, isn't it? You can't really predict it on any given day. And there's always lots of surprises. And it literally came to the very, very last round game of the season to decide the top four. And that's why it's fun.
Indeed. Well, speaking of surprises, let's jump into the semifinals. Fire knocked out by Perth in two games.
Yeah. Kind of like on paper, you would expect the Fire to win that series. But what was really interesting is that when you look at them on court, Perth just have this kind of X factor of having a money ball type team. And Ryan Petrick, the coach of Perth Lynx, have referred to them as he had to money ball it, so to speak. He mentioned that in a press conference earlier in the year. And I think that he's executed that perfectly. He's got a team that's very well balanced. He's very good at coaching everyone to their strengths. And you can tell that they're given a brand new team. They really support each other, enjoy playing with each other. Versus a Fire who had a lot of expectations and a loaded roster going into this with again, coach of the year in Shannon Seabom. And what was interesting is, you know, I heard this from a couple of other people too. They just kind of looked like a little bit jarred up, a little bit out of sync, perhaps some tensions. I don't know. I can't really say. I didn't watch a lot of those games, to be fair, because at the time I didn't have access to ESPN to watch some of them, so I was just having to watch by stats and what other people were telling me. But, yeah, good on Perth for going 2-0. As soon as they won that first game in Townsville, you could kind of guarantee that it was a done deal.
Yeah, well, home court is proving to be quite a problem across the WNBL and NBL finals. At the moment, if you can win on someone else's, it's a huge, huge advantage. Over on the other side, just LJ. Am I right in 38 points in that final game and just romping up? Obviously, Blixarves being out for the Boomers, a big piece missing for them, but they were able to rally in that second game.
Yeah, and I think while Blisarves was out, I think it was a really good opportunity for Tara Reid to step up and fill her shoes, and she did just that in game two. She's really been quite impressive this season, and probably, there's always a contentious issue with the WNBL awards. Should it be Rookie of the Year? Should it be Most Improved? Should it be Breakout? You know, Breakout's a bit too muddy, but Tara Reid was definitely, you know, she would have been like Rookie of the Year, I think. So she stepped up really well to fill that gap of Blisarves. But yeah, I think the Flyers did a really good job in that third game to exploit the inside game. I mean, when you've got the likes of Ernst, Jackson and Russell against anyone, that should be your go-to. And thankfully it was LJ that they went to and just kind of tore that inside apart.
Yeah, they did quite a bit. But then, obviously, Flyers get up in that third game. And Flyers, Lynx, and look, Lynx stole that first game. And, hey, they're in the box seat right now.
Yeah. It's almost history repeating from their semi-final campaign too. Getting the first win of the series away. So, yeah, now they're in the prime opportunity to win a championship at home in two. And everything's going their way. It's just a matter of is that going to be something that is going to continue? Like, or is their good streak going to run out? But if you look at the stats from the first game of the grand final series, or even if you looked at the game as a whole, it was a case of a lot of things didn't go right for the Flyers. And I feel like the kind of way you would describe the Flyers for the last two, almost three seasons is just discombobulated. I don't know. I don't know why they can't get it together. They all seem really out of sync. Their defensive communication has been an issue all season, and that has continued in this first game. But Perth Lynx, everything was just going right for them. Their shooters got to shoot, as we saw Amy Atwell set the record. Whew. Talk about, she had 7 threes in the first half, her 9th one in the second half against Dallas Loftbridge was just outrageous. It was a step back, it was quite a distance from the 3-point line, and it was overhand. I mean, that just really capped off her performance. And she now set the record for the highest number of threes made in a WNBL final series with 9. So she was 9 from 14. That's 64% from the 3-point line in a finals game. It's ridiculous. And they shot 57% overall from the 3-point line. So everyone was chipping in. But yeah, it was just everything was going right for them. The Flyers, they just didn't decide to play defense that game. Everything was really out of sync for them. But, and also the Lynx, the first team ever to score 100 points in a WNBL finals game too. So everything's going in the right direction for them at the right time. And I think, you know, listeners would probably already realise this as well, but Aaron McDonald was injured for a period of time, and it was a very crucial period of time in the season because it was at the back end when places on the ladder were starting to be jostled, and she managed to come back just in time for the Perth Lynx to qualify for finals and now play the final series. And I really believe that if she hadn't been injured, she perhaps would have been very, very close contention for MVP next to Jordan Canada. Could have been neck and neck. I think as long as they've got Airy, they're going to be good.
All right. Well, speaking of the NBL awards, you know, we didn't get an invite, but looks like you did. How was the evening?
Yeah, WNBL Awards was really fun. It was held at the Ridges in Melbourne this year. We were lucky with Shooting the Breeze that we got to do, well, from our understanding, it was the first ever pre-awards show. So we were live from the WNBL Awards orange carpet, being able to interview a lot of different players like Jocelyn Willoughby and Bree Turner, Alex Bunton. We got to interview Jordan Canada, which was very cool. So we got to roam around and do that. We even got Chris Lucas on a good day, which, you know, very rarely happens. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it was quite a well-organized night. It was emceed by Jason Bennett and Candy Hertz, and they did a really great job together. It's just unfortunate that a lot of the players did turn up in their teams, and they looked like they were having a good time. But unfortunately, some teams, you know, one team in particular decided not to come except for only one person or two people from that particular team. And apparently they've since been fined for not attending.
Ooh.
From what I've heard.
Spice, heard it here first.
Yeah, yes. But we had some very cool centerpieces on our tables, courtesy of a group called Most Valuable Planters. And on my table, it was this big Jordan, black and white Jordan Dunk, I think it is, with a nice little ferny thing out of the top.
I believe they're basically called pandas.
That type of plant? Yeah, that what it's called?
No, that colorway of shoe, yeah. The black and white Dunk is called a panda.
Oh, the pandas, yeah. Yes. I'm pretty sure it's a Dunk. I'm really not.
Probably. Really, they're pretty. They're pretty popular at the moment.
Yes, very much so.
But yeah, I was lucky to go home with a centerpiece as well, and it's even made it safely from Melbourne to Sydney, and it's now made it safely from Sydney to Brisbane. So yeah, it was really, really fun. I was glad to attend again, and very grateful to be invited.
Nice. All right, and are we able to talk about your big moving news now? It's now official.
Yeah.
It's now official. You are a Queenslandrian.
Well, I've been a Brisbaneite for, I think, technically 5 days.
Hey, I don't know. We'll count it.
Yeah. I think it still counts, yeah.
Nice.
So arrived on Thursday and, arrived on Thursday, started a new job yesterday, living in the valley, so right in the thick of it. I've really just picked up and plonked myself right in the middle and hit the ground running. And, it's been really pretty cool so far, actually. I'm waiting for me to develop a better understanding of the weather, because I've already very quickly learned not to trust the weather forecast. Because I swear it wasn't forecast for rain yesterday. And then it was bucketing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday was on and off, and it was aggressively on and then aggressively off. So, but that's classic Brisbane weather. It's perfect one day and then allegedly better the next.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. There you go. And, of course, we'll people will be able to see and hear you up in the NBL North, in and out of some commentary booths at different places. So they'll be have your expert commentary to look forward to as well, I'm sure.
I'm going to have to do a lot of studying up and preparation, I think, to try and make a good impression on NBL 1 North, because I'm so entrenched in NBL 1 East, having been a player and a commentator for so long down there, that was, you know, my second language. So coming up to North, I think I need to study hard and prepare a lot and start practicing my skills if I want to make a splash up here. But I'm really excited.
Well,
to be part of NBL 1 North?
Of course you are. You're coming from the minor leagues, that is NBL 1 East. welcome to the big show. It'll be great to have you on. And, of course, I'm sure we'll do some commentary together at some point, which will be great fun as it always is. Even in big losses, it still seems to be fun and exciting. But, yeah, welcome to the NBL 1 North. It's going to be a great season ahead, but right, that's pretty much all we've got time for here today. But thanks for joining us, and I'm sure now that you're in Brisbane, we'll get to perhaps see you in studio a little bit more often, hey?
Yes, that would be great. Thank you. And especially now that we're on the same time zone and we can avoid the confusion of, is it New South Wales time or is it Queensland time?
Yeah, look, some of my WL finals predictions are quite good. My keeping track of daylight savings time, however, not so much. Not so much. But all good. Thank you, Jacinta.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
That ball don't lie.
Never does.
Ladies and gentlemen, as always, big thank you to Jacinta for joining us. And as we talked about, she'll be joining us up here on the NBL One North on different in different commentary booths. I'm so sure you will hear more of her as the season goes on. But speaking of going on, it's time to move on now. We've done the WNBL. It's time to look at the NBL One North and then the magic that is the NBL playoffs. And to do that, we've got someone on the phone. He's been here many times before. Should come as no surprise, considering you clicked on the thumbnail with his picture on it. But Matt Macca McIntyre, how we doing, Mac?
Good, mate. Good. Ready to talk some hoops?
That's good, because there's some pretty amazing hoops to talk about. But let's get into some signings first, mate. And since we were last on the air, obviously, Abby Cabillo going to the dark side over at was it the other side of Logan? Or well, this side of Logan, technically, at the south side, the Spartans. Mate, if she can get back to anywhere near her unfortunately, pre-knee injury form, she's going to be dangerous.
Yeah, how's just I have flashbacks to that Anzac game where she won the Anzac medal last year for the Capitals, and she had, 34-odd points, just was absolutely balling. So sad to not see her in a Caps uniform again, but she's going to, coming back from that ACL injury, I hope she comes back at the same player she was, and we can't wait to see her tearing between those bigs, getting into the lane like she does, and then knocking down the threes. Yeah, so it's going to be fun to get see her back on the court.
Yeah, it is. And I do, I that's one of those games I truly love thinking about, because she absolutely carved. It was quite the game. And look, I think it's almost been a year. Like we're in the NBA. We can let the, let some truths out from that broadcast now. when we were on the broadcast, we for some reason thought we would be the ones deciding who the Anzac game medalist was going to be.
Luckily we picked her though. Yeah. But it turns out we picked the same person that the person who was actually meant to be picking picked.
Yeah,
well,
so it was all the coaches and the referees actually got a vote. But yeah, we were sent an email that we possibly misread during the week, and we predicted thankfully the same one. Because yeah, we picked it. And then we, after a couple of minutes, shut down the broadcast, obviously, to transition to the next game. And then they announced that everybody was in the process of choosing who the award winner was going to be. And that was a slightly scary moment, if we're being honest. But they made the correct decision, is the way I like to think of it, Matt.
I like to think they were probably listening to the podcast and they thought, hey, these two guys know what they're talking about.
Hey, we steered them in the right direction. Although, to be honest, Abby Cabillo's game that day steered them or exactly where they needed to be, because she was on fire that day. All right.
Yeah, it wasn't a hard choice.
No, not at all. Nor was Isaac White when we did it again for the men's game. But that time we at least, put some air quotes around it, and we knew the process by that point, so it was a little bit more, a little bit more relaxed. And again, he just played out of his skin and walked away with three for the weekend. But anyway, also NBL One North, Matt Kenyon heading down to the Seahawks, changing coasts, going from Rip City down to the North Gold Coast Seahawks. He's going to be great there.
Absolutely. Big pickup. Guy that can play at the NBL One level, can play pretty much four positions. He can play anything 1-4. I've almost seen him play for Rip when he last year. So, serviceable guy and just a really good athlete to have on your team. It'd be interesting to see if he gets the keys to the show down there. You might see him put up some much bigger numbers, because Rip had a very talented roster. So it was dispersed, the ball between three or four players on the court at all times. So he didn't get a bulk load of shots, but looking at the roster currently for North Gold Coast, he might get a hell of a lot more shots, and we might see him put up some really big numbers, which he's very capable of.
Indeed. All right, heading up to up north to Cairns, and we've got Scooby Dooby Doop Dat 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 Kai Statman is re-signing up there. He'll if he can put together a couple of those big big games that he had last season, he'll be a big piece for them, just like he was this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Another good re-signing. Knows the place well. Looking to build on a successful NBL stint this year. So, just looking to build, I'm assuming.
And, of course, Cairns also re-signing, should come as no surprise with Myra Donkin, re-signing for their women's team. Absolute stalwart and veteran of the game up there. But, mate, Gold Coast, couple of interesting signings for their men's team. Let's start with friend of the show in Boston Maslin, moving over from Logan, heading over to play with Mr. Cadet and, of course, be coached by the Tenerfield Sadler himself. But they've also picked up Daniel Titus as well. So a couple of good solid pickups for Gold Coast basketball.
Yeah, good little backcourt forming there with Cadet and Maslin. That'll be nice to see how well they gel together. As long as Kadee is in that team, you just have to find guys that can rebound his occasional misses and make sure you get him open and just help facilitate, because he'll run the show, and they just need to get some quality players around him. And that's a really, really good start with Maslin and then Titus coming from the Div 1 college. So, yeah, good signings.
All right, that's going to wrap us up. There's a lot of signings coming in thick and fast, but they were the ones that caught our attention this week. We'll be obviously back next week with some more of those as we get closer and closer to the official launch, which will be next Wednesday, and then some actual NBL 1 North games coming shortly. Of course, the season will tip with We've got the North Gold Coast Seahawks hosting Logan Thunder, I believe, which will be a nice Thursday game, that's my game of the round right there. That's the game I'm waiting for. Michaela versus Michaela, Hesselhurst versus Cads. It's going to be so good. And I believe the men's programs are also playing after that as well, which should be fine, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just get it started. Hey.
Yeah.
It's just around the corner. Can't wait.
Cannot. All right. The Mitsubishi Motors NBL 1 North season. Still a little bit of a wait away. We'll just have to wait like everybody else, but not too far now. But the Hungry Jacks NBL playoffs are in full swing. And like we talked about earlier, mate, summing up the super tight season that we had, we now ended up with a super tight proper playoffs now with semi-finals, one apiece on both sides.
Yeah, both. I mean, all four teams coming into this, there was probably favourites in Melbourne and you'd probably say Perth over Tasmania, but the underdog teams have put in some hell of a performances. We've had two games go to overtime. The other games have been close. You've got some players playing out of their skin, other players coming in and out of form. It's all happening. It's the mix that you want to see in these finals. And it's no surprise, like you said, because the season proper was so tight in itself. You know, even going to the last round, we had multiple teams still vying for the last finals position. And it's a bit reflective of last year as well. You know, last year we had a hell of a semi-final series between Cairns and the Kings and then Tasmania, you know, just missing out on that grand final spot as well. So they're trying to make up for it this year. It's the last few years have just been ultra competitive in the NBL, and it was just, you're just seeing it on repeat now, which is really good because the stands look absolutely packed out. So obviously the crowds are enjoying it.
Indeed, indeed. All right, let's start with Illawarra and Melbourne. And look, one went one way And then Melbourne was so close, and it got away from them, and Illawarra still in it. And as Mr. Tatum has said, no one's really expected it. So this is it. You know, this is found money for them. So they're absolutely playing out of their skins. Gary Clark has had a big, big impact for Illawarra. Who have you liked from the Melbourne and Illawarra games, mate?
Well, I can't go past the stalwart and Delhi in that first game. He was just absolutely on fire. Looked vintage. He had 30 points, 7 rebounds, 10 assists, doing it absolute, all of it for Melbourne. And, you know, he really kickstarted. They got down by 16 in that game. And I mean, if you're finding any faults in the Hawks, it was they were up by such a big lead, then to lose in overtime. You know, you would have thought they would may have lost a lot of confidence from that, but they've pulled it together and then come back in game two. But looking at Melbourne, the play of Delhi in that first game and also Luke Travers having 24 points, that was a big game for him. I think that was his highest point production for the season. So they played really well, and they were probably the key catalyst in them pulling back that 16-point deficit, pushing it to OT. Shout out to Bubbles, who made that clutch layup. He shook off. He got the high pick. Looked like he was going to go into his sort of pattern step back three, which the Hawks defender was sort of staying in on his hip for. But then he just rolled to the basket and made a layup over Froehling and Gary Clark, and put him into overtime. And then Melbourne just got the job done. So those guys for Melbourne in that first game were ultra clutch and managed to pull it out of the fire, to be honest. And then going into the second, Delhi once again had a great game. Travis a little bit quiet, and CG43 giving you another 15 points, doing what he does, knocking down a few threes. And it's just been ultra tight, Mal. Every game, it's sort of coming down to one or two plays that have made the difference, but there's just been so much back and forth. It's been great to watch.
All right, Elliot, similar question. Who's standing out on this side of the draw for you?
Oh, Will Hickey was just, in that second game, he was just all over everything. Like, I don't think he ended up with as many points as I thought he did, but it's one of those performances, like, both sides of the ball, working hard. It's just playing out of his skin, really. And then obviously the putback to send them into OT, and some pretty clutch players in OT is there as well, who are just like out of his skin. And also Sam Froehling, every time I see him, I just can't remember him missing. He just workhorse, and against JLA as well, is just beasting.
Well, he's one of the best centers in the league, mate. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
Yeah.
He'll tell you. But to be fair, he is.
Yeah.
He is. So that's fine. Macca, though, surely. What's one of my favorite lines in the commentary booth when they head to the charity stripe? Practice your free throws, mate. Well, practice your free throws. United.
I thought you were going to say that the women's cap team hits a better free throw percentage than the men. But yes, practice your free throws. It's
yes.
The free throw line for a reason. And you're right. Which game was it? I'm trying to think now, but there was one game where Melbourne were only shooting 60%.
Yeah, that was this last
Horrible
one.
Horrible at the NBL level. Yeah.
60, I think it was 3 or 4, but, you know, still, you're splitting hairs. And when a game comes down to that sort of tight level, well, you know, one or two here or there, or even one every quarter, you know, makes a huge difference down the stretch. So, yeah. Look,
and it catches though. When one guy gets a little bit cold, it, you know, you see it all the time at like a local level. Guy misses his first free throw, you're like, oh, he's gone for the game. Like, he's not going to hit one. But sometimes, just ever so occasionally, even at that professional level, you see one guy miss a few. All of a sudden, his confidence slips, and it's like it's like COVID spreading through the team. They just you start missing a few free throws, you start, and then all of a sudden you're shooting 50%. These are guys that, you know, will shoot 80% across a whole season. So it's it was really hard to watch. You were kind of hoping they would get to the free throw line because they had seemingly better percentage of making a tough layup or a 3-point shot.
Yeah, it's like it's like footage of Gobert touching all the microphones. Right? It's a tough watch. It's a tough watch in hindsight. All right. Well, predictions. Let's get some predictions. Elliot, who have you got? There's going to be one game left on what's only going to be what, wonderfully spectacular Wednesday of NBL basketball that is going to be tomorrow night as we record. So who's your pick in this one?
I'm going to go with the Hawks.
Okay.
I think they're playing really well. And I think they're going to kind of get over this little, like obviously they won the last game, but I just feel like they're going to get the third one in Melbourne. I think they're just going to take it. And then on the other side, let's go, I think Perth.
Hang on.
Did I go too fast, mate?
Going too fast, young fella. It's all right. You're not the first young fella to do that. Don't dance, Macca, who you got? Illawarra or Melbourne tomorrow night?
Look, I would much prefer Hawks to win as just a personal go with the heart type thing. But just because where they've come in this season, I think it's absolutely phenomenal how they've turned it around, and to see guys like Will Hickey playing so well, Froling Ball and Gary Clark, like the whole team just is really playing well. But I bet if I'm betting man with my head, I'm thinking Melbourne. You are at a betting home. Man. That's true. Melbourne at home with the cattle that they have and the class of players that they have, I think Melbourne probably gets it done in a tight one. I'd love to see another OT just because it's great for viewing, but probably say, I don't know, Melbourne by 5 points at home. And who plays out of their skin? Maybe it's time for Chris Goulding to, you know, have a 25-plus point game and just absolutely light it up from three.
All right. Well, if you are out there, trying to put together a multi from Macca's predictions, just remember, gamble responsibly. And there are other tips available. So as we always say, Macca, we do love your tips. Don't get me wrong. But, super high track record. Well,
no, not the greatest, but,
it's a numbers game, mate. Shooter's going to shoot, right? Shake it off.
Exactly right.
Get up and get the
exactly
next one.
Exactly right.
Next all right. Look, I'm a little bit torn. Look, give me OT, and if we get OT, then everyone's a winner. I think, give me OT, and that I can live with either way winning because I'm a lot like everyone else. This has been a really tight semi-final. Didn't necessarily think it was going to be that way. Thought it was going to be fairly easily wrapped up by United, even if it was three games. But this has been way, way tighter than I certainly would have predicted going in. But look, give me – you're going Hawks, give me United. Give me United, Macca. All right. Taz – well, speaking of missing free throws, Tasmanian Jack Jumpers and Perth Wildcats with Clint Steindl. I love Mr. Casey as a commentator, but he called out Mr. Steindl as one of the best and, said he hadn't missed one in like two and a bit years, whatever it was. Yeah. Some amazing stat.
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, the next game misses two in a row. Like, ay, come on, Mr. Casey, what are you doing? You're aware of the commentator's curse. You're one of the best to do it. But, tough. But a great series. Tasmanian Jack Jumpers really clapped back in this game.
Yeah, great. I mean, first game, Perth got the jump. Who predicted Pinder was going to step back and hit 5 or 7 three-pointers and, get him to the start that he did? And you wouldn't think that Perth would probably be able to win the game with Bryce Cotton by his standards, having a relatively quiet night. I think he only had 10 points going into the fourth quarter. He ended up with 15 for the game. But Perth stuck that first one over on Tasmania. And then, like you said, go back to Tassie. Tassie is a hell of a hard place to play. Teams go there and just – it's like the rims are just a little bit they're not as wide, and it's just harder to shoot because teams struggle there with the crowd right on top of the court there. And Tassie, just the Jack Jumpers play so well there. And, you know, the Gold Coast boy, Jack McVay, he had 22 points in that second game. Milton Doyle came out and was a bit more, was able to find his range, poured in 24 points. And then Will Magnay had the start and he played really well as well. Gave him 15 points, 7 rebounds. And yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. The third game, though, the Tassie looked to probably get Lee back. I think he was suspended just for the one game. Yep. So
Jack Jumpers went early and took the one game for the early play.
But that was on the unsportsmanlike foul in the first game, wasn't it? Usher, like right at the end of the game. So,
and yeah, I think really that realistically that comes down to it. Just looked like when you really slow it down, there was no attempt at the ball, and there was almost looked like a second effort to just pull across the face.
Mm.
And I think realistically that's where it's and come from. So
you don't really get you don't hear the term playoff fouls anymore, do you? That's a thing of yesteryear.
Yes.
You know? So you can't really do that anymore, unfortunately. But to me, if Tassie get Lee back, I got Tassie beating Perth at home.
Oh, well, he's back. He's on the road. He's traveling with the team. So
I got Tassie winning. Tassie and Melbourne in the final.
All right, someone who I'm pretty confident is going to go the other way.
Well,
Elliot, what's your take on the semi so far? And of course, you know, you've already
got
the cat out of the bag with your Perth pick. But
jumped the gun a little bit.
Why are you going Perth, mate? What are you feeling?
Well, maybe I shouldn't have jumped the gun because I thought Lee had a 2-game suspension, but it's only one. So if it's only
He had 2-game suspension if he fought it and lost. With an early guilty plea, it would have been one. So they went early, losing for one. Back for the third, roll the dice a little bit, but nowhere near the full gamble.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, game three, heading back to the jungle of Perth. Going to be a tight one, mate.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with it.
Stick with it?
I think Tassie's hard to play in, but I think Perth's also really hard to play in as well because that crowd is insane.
That's true,
and they're very deep, and I think they can have many given guys on a night play well, like Tassie did in game two with Deng had 18 and stuff like that. So they've got some bench depth guys that can put on a good performance. I think they're gonna get it done. They're just really tough, and Bryce Cotton's probably just gonna dig into his bag and go, "I'm gonna win this one and pull it out." I reckon.
Yeah, look, Tassie did a great job of slowing him down, though, in that fourth quarter. Yeah. In Tassie, he went from, I think it was 24 points across three quarters to 2 in the fourth. But at the same time, too, he was able to get the ball out of the double teams and find that extra, that left out offensive player there for a few runs in a row in that third quarter. So it just felt kind of had the feeling of Perth is still finding a way here and Tassie's really got to put something together. But then as time rolled on in the game, Tassie were just able to hold it and get those more consistent buckets. And all of a sudden the pressure was all on Perth and they just came up short in the end. Yeah. And Pinder, just going to leave a question mark there, 14 minutes and 5 fouls and just was not anywhere near the same Pinder from game one. But that's playoff basketball. It's incredibly hard to do to back up those 2-3 games in a row. So look for him to ball out here. Going to make a prediction early that the Perth crowd are going to boo somebody.
Yeah.
That's not going out on a limb at all.
Nope.
But look, I'm happy with either. I'm honestly happy with the Jack Jumpers or the Wildcats. I don't have any, I don't have any skin in this fight. I just have a feeling that Ty Webster's going to step up, have a really big game. I've loved the Magnay minutes from Tassie. Marcus Lee coming back. Look, that'll be interesting to see how that fits in because Magnay just played so well in that starting role, had a really dominant game at both ends. That foul he picked up at half court was I didn't see that as a foul, but anyway, look, give me Perth, but I'm totally okay with the Jackies getting up. So, Perth, but tight.
Yeah.
Tight. Give me tight in the jungle. All right, boys, there are predictions locked in. So anyone super confident want to put some chicken on the line there or
I've just paid my bet back the other week, so I don't know if I want to go in the hole with her. I still owe you, Mal, from last year. I might wait till there's a more definitive bet that I think I can win. It's going to be tight either way.
We're at the place where you could have paid up, and now you tell me a week later, you're like, I still owe you. You did say that when we're at the venue where you could have squared the ledge.
I had to fix Ian up first, so yeah, you're next. You're next on the cards.
Oh, good. So he's waited a year. Now I've got to wait too. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. All right. It's okay. It's fine. I'll know what I'm in for next time. All right, boys. It is that time then for some local card shop of Woolen Gabba NBL Crack'em. Let's do it. We've got a great little pack here of NBL Topps Chrome 4-pack 2022-2023 pack. Let's crack them open and get stuck right in. All right, boys, your buzzers. Let's go with your, not necessarily hometown, but your first NBL 1 North team love. So Elliot, that's going to be Wizards buzzer for you. Let's test that buzzer.
My hometown. Wizards.
Wizards. Home, you know, close enough. first NBL 1 love. Macca, let's go Rollers for you.
Rollers.
There we go. All right. If you haven't played before at home, this is how it works. I read the back of a card and the boys have to buzz in. When they do buzz in, they don't hear any more of the clues. That's it. They're locked out and excuse me. And they have to give me their guess of who is on the front, the name of the player. Then if they get it wrong, the other person gets all the rest of the clues and then a very short amount of time. They can't forever on the end of the line or in the studio. And then from there, once we've both had it, I'll give some clues if needed. And once both have buzzed out negatively, they can both buzz back in at any point and we'll keep going. And hopefully this is, hopefully it doesn't go on forever tonight, fellas. I mean, you know, we've got four cards here. Let's get started with card number one. Ooh, interesting card. Okay. For the Adelaide 36ers, fan favorite somebody will spend another full season in the NBL to continue his dream of making the US top pro league / the NBA. After going undrafted this year, the 2022 NBL fans MVP averaged 7.5 points and 4.5 rebounds per game in the NBL 22. And his minutes should increase in NBL 23. The 20-year-old Filipino will be the tallest player in the NBL this...
Rollers.
Yep.
Kai Soto.
Kai Soto. Yes. He went over for the draft and wasted his time. Kai Soto. Yes.
Should have buzzed earlier.
Well, anyway. Should have, could have, would have.
Yes.
Here we go. All right. Card two. All right, Mac, you're up one. See, this is what happens when you don't put any chicken on, Mac. Get out to an early lead. All right, for the Cairns Taipans, this is actually his rookie card. Somebody was the NBL Rookie of the Year in 2022.
After Rollers.
Oh.
I've gone way too early.
Dang.
I just had a stab here. Keanu Pinder?
Nope. This is what happens when you follow the Crack'em King style of time. You've got to back it up with the Crack'em King style of understanding. So, all right.
Yeah.
Here we go. So the Rookie of the Year in 2022, after setting a new lead record for three-point makes by a first-year Aussie. After not being promised any minutes when signing as a rookie, he went on to play the second most for Cairns, including a team-high 26 starts, somebody has successfully represented the South Sudan national team in FIBA Africa World Cup qualifiers. All you, Elliot.
That's it. Ding, ding.
No. It's neither of those two. Macca, you're back in. Back in.
Rollers?
Yep.
Is it Bull Qual?
Bull Qual. Oh, yes. Bull yeah. Qual it is.
2022.
Apologies for the pronunciation.
That happens, mate. That happens.
I went counting Pina because I was like, oh, he had that award twice in a row. And I was like, no, wait, you can't get Rookie of the Year twice in a row. it was the most improved. I was like, oh, man. I just let myself out on that one.
Yeah. Look, Ant, no need to message me. Complaint logged. Ant does message me after most of these. And, I already know what you're going to say, Ant. All good. All good.
I feel the criticism. It's all good.
All righty. Somebody was the breakout star in NBL 2022. Cap, he capped off with a grand final MVP award on the championship winning team that he led in scoring and rebounding in the final series.
Rollers?
Yeah.
Xavier Cook.
Xavier, a little bit more confidence next time, mate. Yes, Xavier Cooks. Yes, went on to sign the, unfortunately, rather short Wizards contract and is now in
Japan. Nothing's guaranteed in this world, hey?
No, except for, what's the old thing? Death and taxes.
That's the one.
Yeah, I think I saw something the other day. The league he's playing in South Asia somewhere, he won the championship there.
In Japan, I
believe. Yeah, Japan. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Last card. Come on, Elliot.
Yeah.
Come on, Elliot. You're just playing the Jared Pickering role, mate. Like,
yes.
You're going up against. You're going up against Ant.
Yes.
All right. For the Wildcats, and no, Jared, if you're listening out there, it's not Ricky Grace. Okay. It's not Ricky Grace this time around. All right. Perth Wildcats, the future looks bright for the 21-year-old Rockingham WA Junior after his selection at number 56 by Cleveland in the 2022 draft.
Luke Travers.
Oh, yeah.
Luke Travers with confidence, yes. And if it makes you feel better, there, Macca, on the card here, there is a certain Cairns Taipan by the name of Pinder. Luke Travers is actually driving on Keanu, and Keanu is doing his best to defend. Love to know what happened next, but that's not how basketball cards work. So, mate, back 4-0. You're up.
I got lucky. It's still embarrassing. Like, Keanu Pinder's, how long has he been in the league? And I thought he was MVP in 2022. That's horrible.
Yeah.
But hey,
look,
we've got to live with it.
If it makes you feel better, mate, I can tell you that I'll edit it out.
No, you won't, but that's fine.
No. If we were square,
the bloopers reel.
Had you have squared up your chickens, we could have gone from there. But, hey, it's, you make your coop, you got to line it, you know.
Exactly.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right, Mac, thanks for joining us, as always. It's absolutely fantastic to have you on.
My pleasure, mate. And can't wait for tomorrow night, that doubleheader. What a way to spend a Wednesday night.
Absolute spice, right? It's going to be absolute spice. That is going to wrap us up. Another show, of course, brought to you by Dr. Electrical, servicing Brisbane and North Adelaide areas. And, of course, with support from the local card shop of Woolen Gabba, each and every week bringing you local card shop of Woolen Gabba Crack'em. That is going to wrap us up. If you are on the socials, please do give us those likes, follows, and shares. And if you are on a streaming service that allows those 5-star reviews, please do go ahead and do that. Excuse me. But until you're listening to us again, just remember that ball don't lie.
It never does.